I'm Paul Irwin, and welcome to the Prose.com podcast, where we discuss everything translation and interpreting related, including how to get new clients, areas of specialization, technical skills, software localization, machine translation, diversification, and more. Prose.com, helping freelance translators and interpreters succeed. Hey there, Paul here. This is episode 64, believe it or not. 64, wow. And today I'm talking to Wendy Pease about global marketing and scaling a business. It really is an amazing, amazing conversation. I absolutely guarantee that you will learn something very interesting and probably very important for your own business. So stick around for that in just a second. First of all, I'd like to highlight the fact that at the end of September, we have our Prose.com International Translation Day event, and that starts on Monday, the 26th of September, with pre-conference workshops. So we have Jason Willis-Lee, Claudia Brower, Joe Lapine, Molly Urick, Islam Yunis, Corinne McKay, Tess Whitty, Martina Russo, Bettina Röhricht, Delfina Morganti Hernandez, and myself giving workshops on topics such as getting started as a freelance translator, how to learn how to use DeepL machine translation, the 22 most underexploited tech tools for translators. I think that's going to be a great one. Breaking into the subtitling market, very popular. From bilingual to remote interpreter. Learn all about remote interpreting. Fearless direct client marketing, the incredibly popular workshop from Corinne McKay. An introduction to voiceover, including how to set up a home studio. That's with me. How to optimize your online profiles with the excellent Tess Whitty. Specialization for freelance translators, how to stand out from the crowd and get more and better work. That's with Martina Russo. How to make feedback work with you with Bettina Röhricht. And 10 steps to a successful content marketing strategy with Delfina Morganti Hernandez. So really looking forward to those workshops. And then on the day, or the 2 days, should I say, of the main event, that's on the 28th. And 29th of September. So that whole week, really, from the 26th to the 29th of September, we've got so much going on. We've got raffles, we've got guest speakers, we've got people sharing your story of videos. We've got lots and lots of different things on those 4 days. So check it out. If you'd like to check out the workshops, first of all, head on over to training.prose.com. That's training.prose.com. Hope to see you there. Right, let's get cracking with Wendy. Wendy Pease is president of Rapport International and a language translation expert who frequently speaks about multilingual communications. She is the host of the Global Marketing Show podcast and author of the almost published book about global marketing. Her company, Rapport International, is a language services company that eliminates spoken and written language barriers in 200 plus languages. Prior to this, she served in corporate senior management positions in international marketing and business development. She has an MBA from Dartmouth College and a BA in foreign service from Penn State. Wendy has lived in Mexico, Taiwan, and the Philippines, and is passionate about languages, cultures, and communications. Wendy, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Paul. It's great to be here.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah, really, really looking forward to this, Wendy. I'm really looking forward to talking about global marketing. Well, a fascinating topic. But first of all, take us back in time a little bit. Where did your love of languages start, and how did you get into this amazing industry?
Well, I lived in Mexico, Taiwan, and the Philippines when I was young. My dad was in international agriculture, and so he worked at the international research centers. And so Mexico, we lived in the city, but in the Philippines and Taiwan, we were in very agricultural areas. And so I can remember being in the midst of people that didn't look like me. We didn't share a language, but we were still able to make friends and play. And so also realized the importance of language when you're really trying to do something important. So it's been a natural fit for me to land here at Rapport International and lead this.
Brilliant. Okay, so obviously I can understand that sort of fascination with languages from a young age. How did that then manifest itself in terms of a career path? Where did your career path start? And perhaps as part of that, if I could ask, was it always clear that career path for you or not?
In 2020 hindsight, the building blocks are clear to get to where I got to.
Yeah.
But actually getting here, no, it wasn't clear at the time. I just followed my interests and I put all those blocks together to be here. So, and I say that because one time in high school, I was talking to my dad about career choices and I mentioned that I might want to become an interpreter. And he said, well, go become a specialist in something and become bilingual. Now, this is somebody who had done international business, but I didn't realize what great advice that was because for translators and interpreters to work for us now, I want them to have subject matter expertise. So I went on and got my degree in foreign service and international politics with a minor in business and then graduated, you know, so always interested in language and international. And when I graduated, I got into sales, which I absolutely love. So I had planned on going to law school, becoming a specialist in that. And I took all the language courses I could, but I never majored any and I didn't do an exchange program. So I never became fully bilingual.
Okay. Yep.
But still have but
you
always.
You loved sales, you said.
I love sales.
Yeah.
Yes.
Fantastic. Fantastic. I love sales as well. But I think a lot of it is, can we just address that point for a second? Because so many people shy away from sales. Why do you think that is?
Your training in school was as an engineer, right?
That's correct. Yes. Yes.
So you come from engineering. I come from liberal arts. We both love sales. And I think sales has gotten such a bad rap. And if you ask anybody that doesn't know anything about sales to name their best salesperson, you know, the person that they think is best in sales or could be good in sales, they usually come up with somebody who's passionate about something and could really argue their way. I'm like, that's a lousy salesperson. A good person in sales can develop relationships, can listen and really figure out what the person's problem is. And if they can solve it, if they can solve it with their product or service, they do it. If they can't, they refer them on to somebody else that can help. They've got to be a good networker so they can develop that help. And then they've got to have excellent follow-up skills. There's nothing about that that says being a clown, pushing your argument, convincing people to use stuff. That's not a good salesperson.
Yeah, totally, totally. Selling is helping, solving problems, as you've said. So I think that, and I think that we all need to integrate sales in some way into what we do on a daily basis. And I think this is so important for freelance translators. That's why I picked up on your point, because I think it's just incredibly, incredibly key that we see sales for what it is, that is helping people to get closer to a solution. As you said, being that networking, helping someone that if you can't find a solution or provide a solution, you can recommend someone else. So all of those ingredients that make up a good salesperson.
Oh, and I think for translators who are looking to build their business, you know, build a network of people that do other languages. Because if you have a client that says, hey, by the way, you do Spanish for me. Do you know anybody who does French or German or Chinese? It's really helpful if you know somebody who's good. And not only that, you know, do you know desktop publishers or voiceover artists? I think you've had some experience in that. You know, so build your network and recommend good people that you know can come through and provide services.
Yeah. I think that's also enjoyable as a freelance translator. I think because sometimes, you know, sometimes it can be a little bit of an isolated feeling, you know, working on your own, working on certain projects. And I think when you have that network of people from colleagues doing the same thing to colleagues doing the sort of matching language pair or the other language pair to different language pairs altogether to different services, I think it just makes it more interesting as well.
It does, because you've got a community that understands you and what you're doing and your support network. And then people in those, you know, if you do Spanish and you have a friend that does German, you can cross refer to each other.
Yeah, absolutely. Brilliant, brilliant. All right, well, thanks for that. I think that's a good, good little section. So what was your first job then, Wendy?
Well, my very, very first job was with corporate health and wait a minute. Are you talking first job out of college or first job ever?
Well, let's do both. What was your first job ever then, just out of interest?
First job, well, probably babysitting.
Yeah.
Because I started that real young.
Yeah.
Then I worked at a daycare center. Then I got hired at Roy Rogers Restaurant, which is just a fast food restaurant that's specialized in, you know, roast beef sandwiches and hamburgers.
Yeah.
Then I worked in a legal office for a while because I had thought about going to law school after undergrad.
Yeah.
And then after and I always sold things like, you know, Girl Scout cookies and fundraisers for the high school, you know, whatever club that I was in. There was a time that I sold little Christmas ornaments that we made. I sold seeds at one point. Early on, I like going door to door or sitting at tables, you know, offering these wares. So I always buy from kids.
Excellent. What's interesting there as well, you mentioned the word earlier on, blocks, is putting the blocks of experience together. And I think it's clear, or it's going to become clear when we get to Rapport International, that you have managed to put everything together. So you've got that marketing, you've got the languages, and that's probably why it works so well, right?
Yes. So between my foreign service degree, my experience in sales, and then my experience in marketing, and then getting an MBA to get experience in, you know, that rounded out the financial area and the general business area. And then I worked at a multilingual marketing company after business school. And then I worked in the workers' comp industry, basically representing doctors as expert witnesses. And okay. so there was a lot of language involved in that. We needed interpreters all the time. And so I got laid off on two maternity leaves and I said, forget it. I don't want to work for big corporate anymore, because in the United States, it's illegal to get laid off on maternity leave. But they did it, and it's too hard. You have to prove discrimination. So I went through that and I just said, you know, I'm tired of it. I want to control my own life. And I think with a lot of independent translators and interpreters, they're doing their own thing. And a lot of that is about control. So I actually went online off of the recommendation of another business owner to find a business for sale.
Yep.
And I found this little translation company for sale that had really high quality, had, you know, 17, 18 years in the business by the time I was looking at it. And I was passionate about it. I mean, I lived internationally. I had the foreign service degree. I love languages and cultures. I love diversity. So I looked at that and I'm like, huh, it's incorporating all the things that I love in an industry that I love. Now, at one point, it looked like the deal was going to not go through.
Okay.
And so I had hired a broker to help advise me. And he said, well, I have this other company for sale that was providing linens for companies when they did high-end, you know, entertaining, and they needed to bring the linens in.
So a bit different.
It was boring as heck to me. I was like, that's trucks and it's laundry. Like, I just don't want to do that. So, you know, you have to find that passion.
Yeah.
And that's what I have with this industry.
Brilliant. So what happened with that transaction then?
It was something about, you know, it was just how much money was up front and how much was in the payoff. And we ended up putting the payoff in a trust account with the attorney. So the seller knew that the money was there. And I just had to sign off that all the criteria were met.
Okay. And when is this? When did this happen, Wendy?
This was in 2004.
Okay. Brilliant.
So the company's over 35 years and I've owned it for 17 and a half.
Wow. That's really interesting. Okay, so that's really interesting. So I've talked to a lot of translators and talked to a number of translators and interpreters who've developed their own business. Obviously, as you have as well, but also you made that purchase. So what was that experience like? That's really interesting to me. You know, did you have to throw everything out and start again? Was it an advantage because you had all the structures set up, the legal entity and so on? Tell us a little bit about how you think that might compare. But I mean, because you could have just, you could have put that purchase money into creating your own business as well, right? So you obviously decided that would be an advantage to buy an existing entity.
Yeah, if you start a business, you have a much higher likelihood of failing than if you buy an already ongoing business.
Yeah.
And I had never been in the industry before. So with the purchase, I was buying into the training. I was also getting clients that had already worked for her over all those years. And I was getting the knowledge of who were the interpreters and translators to use, because she already had formed relationships. So me coming in, I had trusted advice on who was good, who she had been using and knew. So from there, I could ask them for referrals, or I could ask them to review material for new translators to figure out if they were good or not, because we offer 200 languages. So
wow.
I can't proof it, but I need a way to check the quality, because we carry a liability insurance policy. And so if we're going to use somebody, we better make sure that they're good.
Brilliant. And yeah. How was it then in those early years? What do you recall from that time? Were you able to grow the business as well?
Oh, absolutely. We've grown, I mean, so many fold over. We went from, you know, when I got it, I was working alone. I hired a project manager. Now we outsource our finance. We've got over 10 employees, and we hire different subcontractors to support with office work. All our linguists are subcontractors. So we work with hundreds and hundreds of them across all the different languages. The early days, it was interesting because I was doing all the project management and all the sales and marketing. So I took the client list that she had and was reaching out to them, but still trying to handle all the projects. And so then as soon as I could bring a project manager in, that was a huge help. So we've grown, you know, and now we have a much bigger project management staff. And I like it much more now because I've got a great team that I'm working with, and they, you know, can be accountable for what they're doing. And then I get to get back to the speaking, educating, sales, marketing strategy. I've got somebody that heads up marketing. Yeah. Yeah. We're looking for a salesperson. So if you know of anybody that can build relationships and understands the industry, you can go to our website, rapporttranslations.com, and go to the about page and then apply.
Brilliant. Excellent, Wendy. And what would you say, looking back, what would you say was the sort of toughest situation you had to get through as a business owner?
I think you hit different stages of growth. And each time you hit that stage of growth, it's like taking another jump off the cliff of risk taking. You know, so like my first one is, do I buy this company? So there I am, like looking at putting money down on something to grow rather than getting a job where I can make money. And it was like, okay, I think I could do this. I'm going to jump, you know, and then it's hiring the first employee. And then it's investing in some marketing initiative. And then it's hiring, you know, an agency, and then it's hiring out, you know, the marketing function. And so every time, you know, and then, you know, a big one that we've gone through is I had to bring a management team because I could no longer be involved in anything. So then it's trusting other people to manage. So I think, you know, that those key stages of growth.
Yeah.
Are where you go through, they're called whitewater stage when you're growing a company, if you're using the traction model.
Yeah.
And so those whitewater stages are always the most difficult.
Wow. Fascinating. No, it's a really
It really is amazing to see how you've progressed since those early days and the different stages that you've gone through. I think it's brilliant. How would you say that you manage that delegation? Does that delegation or outsourcing or bringing in a management team, it's all kind of, you know, the same thing to some degrees. Trust. I think trust, the common thread is trust in other people. How do you manage that? Does that scare you? Because I think as a business owner, the buck stops with you, right? So how do you deal with that?
Well, it's good that my two key leaders have been with me for 10 years. So yep. I really trust them. And I know, you know, we've worked together for so long, we can figure things out. So I trust them. But, you know, I need to hire in a new sales lead. And that is scary to me. You know, I'd rather bring somebody in and promote them from within and get to know them than doing that. So yeah, no, I struggle a lot with trust. And I think, you know, like I mentioned, the book Traction, which has been very helpful in setting up the different areas of business and how figuring out how to set quarterly goals, who's accountable for them, and then the regular flow of meetings to get updates on that. So you don't get to the end of the quarter and go, what? Nothing was done on that. So that's been extremely helpful to bring us all into working towards the same direction.
Yeah, yeah, brilliant. And Wendy, and I think it's that growth that you've experienced over all those years that and that way that I think you've set up your company and management structure, obviously in a really really smart way. It seems to me that has then enabled you to focus more on strategy. And also more on other projects like your book, Global Marketing. Is that right? Has that allowed you, first of all, before we talk about it specifically, has that management of the structure given you that extra time, would you say?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I only get called into project management when it's something difficult to sell. You know, a client's trying to do something new and different, and we're trying to think creatively on how to handle it, or it's somebody new. So by not handling the day to day and trusting the people to get it done, I've been able to write the book. I've been able to go to conferences. I host the Global Marketing Show podcast, which has been loads of fun. And I'm in the process of writing a second book with a co-author. So
okay. Excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah. And podcasting is great. I love podcasts.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So tell me about the language of global marketing. What inspired you to write that book, and what's it all about?
Is how to connect with people internationally so you can export efficiently. So many people talk about market entry, and they think about the logistics and the currency and the hiring and, you know, the managing the people and just getting a website up and marketing and sales, you know, maybe finding a distributor. And then they don't think about marketing at all. And so this book is really geared towards people in the United States that are interested in exporting. And it shows that companies that export have higher profits, higher revenues, higher stability, they pay higher salaries, and higher growth overall.
Yeah.
And that there is free supports and grants from the federal and state governments here in the United States. So I really wrote this as, you know, showing that and why other countries are a great target, because the global economy has just risen and people want American goods. So it starts with all the analysis of that to help you think about where you should go, how you start. Do you start with multiple countries or do you start with one? And then how you think about your global marketing. Because when I hear people say that English is the global language, it really It makes my, I mean, nails on a chalkboard. It makes my blood curdle, you know, all these American colloquialisms, but it really gets me upset because English is not the global language, and all the industry research shows that 95% of the people want to visit websites in their own language. Most of them are spending more time on them, and over half of them are willing to spend more money. This is all from Common Sense Advisory. Two thoughts there. They're willing to spend more money if they can consume content in their own language. And so Common Sense Advisory is the industry think tank, and they're the ones that have come up with all this research. So if you're going international, you have to think about what language you want to put your website in, so you pull people into that. So translators, you know, if you're coming across a company that is operating in multiple countries and they don't have any translation on their website, that's a great target. Reach out to their marketing person and explain to them. And, you know, it's hard to find that person. That's why, as an agency, we spend a lot of time doing marketing and sales to find those companies. Yeah. So I wrote the book to be, you know, it's a really, it's not, the other books that are out there were textbooks, you know, that somebody would use at a university to teach students. And there was no kind of business book out there to talk about how to do it. So it's been well received. I've gotten a lot. We've won 2 awards for it. It was a bestseller when it launched on Amazon. And the feedback's been really great.
No, amazing. Amazing. Yeah. I think, you know, I think we need more things like that. So, I mean, textbooks obviously have their place, but I think that that sort of real business story, that real practical guide on how to do things. And yeah, I like the way you back up your argument with that research from Common Sense Advisory. I think it's really important to keep those facts in mind, because whatever someone thinks, their sort of opinion about what difference it might or might not make, I mean, the facts are out there, that the surveys have been done, the research has been done, the numbers have been collected, and it does make a huge difference to have content in a specific language. It just, I mean, from my point of view, I can understand from an experience point of view, because I speak Spanish, but I still prefer to read things in English. Actually, talking to another translator the other day, is not always the case with translators, because translators, you know, have such a love for languages that they often do like to read and experience content in languages in their second and even sometimes, you know, third and so on languages. So that's not everyone's experience. But I think from a buying point of view, which is what you're getting at here, the numbers are really clear. People make greater purchases when the content is in their own language and they are easily able to understand what it is that they are buying, right?
Oh, absolutely. And yeah, translators are a special breed because they're so fully bilingual in their 2 languages, and they've got to continue the learning in their, you know, their target language, that of course they're going to read in both languages. But for the general public, I've heard all sorts of stories. There was a guy in India that started a podcast that was in English because he thought it would have a bigger reach. He wasn't getting any followers, so he started doing it in his local language, and the show like skyrocketed in success because people wanted to consume it in his native language.
So
I wrote that book for American companies going out, but we also work with companies that are in other parts of the world coming into the United States because it's such a big market. So we actually just worked for a recent client from the UK that needed to localize its language to the US market because they wanted it in the global English because they thought that that was going to be accepted like a tech company from the US. And then it would be easier to translate. So we've got a whole service of helping companies come into the U.S. on that, specifically on the marketing and how you do it here. Because U.S. marketing is very different than a lot of places in the rest of the world. We have a reputation for being more fluffy, not as techy.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah. And there's a reason for that. It's that they want, you know, Americans want to see the benefits as opposed to all the features. Like, what are you going to do for me?
Yeah.
And if you're in another country and you're listening to this and you want to enter another market, if you go to the embassies and consulates, they have people that can help you with introductions to help you come into, you know, to export from the country that you're in. So even though we're doing, you know, I was talking very US based, go to your country consulate or your target market's country consulate and you can get supports.
Yeah. Fantastic. I think there's opportunities for translators as well here. Translators who understand the whole process a little bit better, or well, not necessarily the whole process, but the marketing process. And some translators sometimes have expressed to me a degree of frustration about not being included in this whole, the whole process of, let's say, localization or selling products in different countries, in different languages. And I think there is an opportunity for translators to educate themselves and to understand how the whole process works. And then if you want to, you can be involved in different parts of the business, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah, absolutely. And the when we're working with translators who are doing it, you know, global marketing, we're really making sure that they're talking to us about, okay, if there's references that are in there that wouldn't make sense, or there's, you know, colloquialisms that don't have a direct translation, or if there's a dual translation. Like we had a tagline for a hospital, it's all about getting better. And it was going into Haitian Creole, and the hospital, it could have been all about the hospital getting better, or it could have been all about the patient getting better. Mm-hmm. In English, you could have the double meaning.
Yeah.
But in the translation, you had to pick one or the other. So the translator said, it's all about the hospital getting better. The editor said, no, I think it's about the patient getting better. You know, if you're working on something, say there can be two translations for this, which way do you want to go? We'll take it back to the client and explain that, so they can make the decision, and then they have a better ownership and feeling about it because they got to make the decision and they understand the challenges of the language. So always, always share information about that, you know, if you're working for an agency or a client, because that's that iterative working together process that really helps us.
Yeah. Brilliant. All right. Well, amazing stuff, Wendy. Thank you for sharing all of that with us. I think it's been brilliant, not only to hear your story and your development, but just how you contribute to everything that's going on in the industry. I think that's brilliant as well. So thank you so much.
I'm happy to tell you that talk about recognition for contribution, Rapport International just won the Presidential E Award, which is one of the highest awards you can get from the Department of Commerce on helping companies export. So I was just down in DC, got a big certificate, a big flag and a pin, and the Secretary of the Department of Commerce, Gina Raimondo, was actually there to award us. So it was quite weird. I'm just so proud of the team for everything they've done.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
Isn't that?
Yeah. It is because it's that kind of, you know, that kind of recognition is really special. So yeah, no, well done.
It is. Yeah. Thank you.
Brilliant. All right. Well, thanks so much. I'll leave you with the last word. So if you'd like to tell us where we can get the book, share your website URL. And once again, just a big, big thank you from me, Wendy.
Okay. Yes. Thank you. Yeah. You can get the book on Amazon. It's, you know, you can buy a paperback audio version or electronic version. So it comes in any format that you like to get it. It's also on Barnes & Noble and any place else that you want to get it. The podcast is called The Global Marketing Show. So if you Google that, you can find it on all your listening apps. If a great way to connect with me is to go to LinkedIn and look for Wendy Pease. find my profile, and we share all sorts of language and culture tidbits on there. So love your comments on it, love your likes and your shares on it, but that's how we interact with people a lot. So you can certainly find me on that, message me on that. And then our website is rapporttranslations.com. And we have a whole information center on there. It's called the Resource Center, and you can search for anything. And if you can't find any content on there that you'd like to see or you think would be helpful, certainly send it through the chat or the contact us so we can create it and put it on there. And if you're not on LinkedIn, we're on Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, and Instagram. So you can find us everywhere. We put lots of content out because we like to educate people about this. And always share your good content too. We'll give you credit for it.
Brilliant. All right. Thanks so much, Wendy. All the very best.
Okay. Thank you so much, Paul. It's really great talking to you.
Thank you. Fantastic. Bye-bye.
Really wonderful chat that with Wendy. I hope you enjoyed that. I hope you found it useful and interesting. Don't forget to check out those pre-conference workshops over at training.pros.com, and I'll see you next time. All the best. Take care. Bye-bye.